Hello and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mark Rector, and it's my pleasure to be reading with you today. Today is Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022, and our passages for today are Numbers 21, 1 through 20, Psalm 26, and Galatians 2, 11 through 21. And our New Testament reading is Galatians 2, 11 through 21. Numbers 21, beginning in verse 1, says, "When the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming along the road to Atharim, he attacked the Israelites and captured some of them. Then Israel made this vow to the Lord, 'If you will deliver these people into our hands, we will totally destroy their cities.' The Lord listened to Israel's plea and gave the Canaanites over to them. They completely destroyed them and their towns, so the place was named Hormah. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food.' Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. The Israelites moved on and camped at Oboth. Then they set out from Oboth and camped in Ai Abarim, in the wilderness that faces Moab toward the sunrise. From there they moved on and camped in the Zered Valley. They set out from there and camped alongside the Arnon, which is in the wilderness, extending into Amorite territory. The Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. That is why the Book of the Wars of the Lord says, 'Zahab, Umsaphah and the ravines, the Arnon and the slopes of the ravines, that lead to the settlement of Ar, and lie along the border of Moab.' From there they continued on to Beer, the well where the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather the people together, and I will give them water.' Then Israel sang this song, 'Spring up, O well, sing about it, about the well that the princes dug, that the nobles of the people sank, the nobles with scepters and staffs.' Then they went from the wilderness to Matanah, from Matanah to Nahalil, from Nahalil to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley in Moab, where the top of Pisgah overlooks the wasteland." So here, as we read Numbers 21, we see the Israelites are still journeying throughout the wilderness. We see them move from place to place, and we also see that circumstances are still difficult. Just one chapter earlier, they were complaining about not having water and food, and here again in Numbers 21, we see complaints again voiced from the Israelites. I have to admit, I'm a homebody, and so I think even just reading this passage, I'm a little homesick in a sense. And I think a lot of us want to know that we can be comfortable, that we will be provided for. And in a sense, this passage is a little discomforting. It's a little discomforting because the Israelites don't know exactly where they are going, but they're to trust the Lord that He will continue to be there for them and provide a way for them, and that ultimately He will give them a home in the promised land. Our second reading for today is Psalm 26. "Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence, and go about your altar, Lord, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul along with sinners, my life with those who are bloodthirsty, in whose hands are wicked schemes, whose right hands are full of bribes. I lead a blameless life. Deliver me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great congregation, I will praise the Lord. Our final reading for today is from the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles, because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. When I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, "You are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? Absolutely not. If I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing." Here in Galatians 2, we're picking up again with our theme that there's tension amongst the early church, among Paul and amongst Cephas, who is also Peter. And again, the issue is what to do with the law. Do we follow it? Do we not follow it? How do we incorporate the law into a life of faith in Jesus Christ? Paul really summarizes in a lot of ways that it is not the law and works of the law that will save, but it is because we are justified in Christ that not only are we saved, but we are also free, that we are free to live for God. We are free to live for others. It's fascinating that in a world where so much demands our attention and so much demands our allegiance, we always have to pick sides, right? But I love verse 20. It's one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. It says that we have been crucified with Christ. We belong to him, and that through him, and because we belong to him, we get to live a life by faith that is totally free in him. I hope today that you will believe this message, that we are free in Christ, that we have been justified because of him, and that we can live confidently and boldly in a world that demands a lot from us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is true, and thank you that it is trustworthy. Father, today in particular, we thank you that we have a reason for our hope in Jesus, that through his death and his resurrection, we have been justified, and that, Lord, because of that, we can live freely and boldly and confidently for you and for others. Lord, help us to live into this, not only for today, but in the days, weeks, and years to come. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.